Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Jeffrey Dahmer, Ted Bundy, the Night Stalker. These names are infamous, but do you really know what drove them to kill?
In Mind of a Serial Killer, we don't just tell you the story, we break down the psychology behind it.
Follow and listen to Mind of a Serial Killer, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Ravens double up the Steelers 28-14. Same old in the playoffs. Six straight playoff defeats, tying the Dolphins for the longest playoff win drought in the NFL. Good afternoon, everybody. I know it's not good, but I feel like I'm obligated to say that. Chris Muller's across from me. Donnie Football here as well. We take this assignment very seriously. The day after or 2 days after a Steelers playoff loss, first time on the air. We know that this is a public service assignment. We do massive audiences on days like this, whether it's listening on your radio or 93.7thefan.com or on our YouTube page. So we thank you for being there. And of course, we want to hear from you today at 412-928-9370. You always, in this spot, try to come up with creative ways to talk about something you've seen several times. This is not new to us. This is something we're very familiar with, watching this team get blown out in playoff games. So, Chris, I'm going to start with what Herb Street said, because I thought he was the MVP of the broadcast for me and really of the game. He just said in that final call, Pittsburgh was lifeless. And that is a direct shot at Mike Tomlin. And it really attacks Tomlin's greatest trait or skill as a coach. He's supposed to be the master motivator. He's supposed to be the guy that rallies the troops and gets his team up for games. And even if they're an underdog or the chips are stacked against them or they go into a game and they're the inferior team, you know, with a Mike Tomlin coach team, you're going to get that team's best shot. That effort was piss poor. You had guys, like, the reality set in very quickly that they were going to lose that game, that it wasn't going to be their night. They didn't believe in themselves. They didn't believe in what the game plan was. They didn't believe in all the burn the boat maxims and leave no stone unturned tropes that got spouted off during the week there. They packed it in.
I would say that one of the angriest times we've seen Mike Tomlin and it kind of bore out this offseason when they didn't pursue Tyler Boyd was when Boyd essentially said the Steelers quit at the end of a Bengals win over them. I can't say the Steelers quit in this game because quitting would imply that they showed up on the field in the first quarter ready to go. They never got off the bus. I mean, it was an embarrassing, pathetic defeat. I think it might have been Deshaun Elliott who said it's worse to have somebody run for 300 yards on you than throw because it's a will-oriented
thing.
They
gave up 300 rushing yards.
They got clowned. They got humiliated. They never got off the bus.
Their whole mantra.
There are cut-ups of Patrick Queen jogging at like half speed. Minka Fitzpatrick, did he get up out of the dirt yet? Is that why he didn't want to talk to the media?
Their
was he
whole,
still peeling grass off of himself?
Their whole credo as a football team is we stop the run and we run the ball. They live by that.
You're going to have to pay with a pound of flesh if you're going to move the ball on us via the ground.
They gave up 300 and they rushed for 29.
Yep.
How
many runs did Derrick Henry have that were longer than their total for the game? At least, what, two?
How many times did Derrick Henry look like he was going against one of Donnie's, like, 8 and 9 year old teams from when he was playing Pop Warner ball?
It's like when you see an oversized kid who's allowed to be a running back in Pee Wee football, and the touchdown, he's just running away while literally six Steelers are lined up like the world's most incompetent track team trying to catch him.
So Tomlin was exposed as this coach who likes this underdog role and likes when he can sell his team on it's us against the world and no one's giving us a shot and we know the Ravens and we have the kryptonite on the Ravens and we know how to play this team precisely right. So that goes out the window. And then the other thing is more macro, what you point out about the run part of this game and how they lost. Their organizational plan or philosophy isn't working. They built a team to win with defense. They've given up at least 28 points in every one of these playoff losses. And there's no excuse this time. There isn't a, man, what a tragedy. Ryan Shazier got injured late in the season, and it completely screwed up what we were doing defensively. And we got caught, you know, naked at the position in a playoff game because we couldn't find a guy who was that good in December to bail us out. It wasn't last year TJ Watt gets hurt in week 18 and you go into a playoff game without your best defensive player. You had everybody available to you. The $130 million defense. That's what this coach wants to do. He wants to win with defense and the offense just complements what they do defensively.
And they got clowned.
And they get boat raced in these playoff
clowned.
Games.
I mean, we've said it on this show. This isn't anything new. We've talked about how this isn't the way to build a team anymore. It is a quarterback-driven league, first, second, and third, and everything springs from that. Like, you try to make a good defense, I think, by getting a really visionary mind in there and trying to make good draft picks, draft young, talented guys, and deploy them. Philadelphia is a great example of this. How many, like, either new guys to the Eagles this year or just straight-up rookies are on that defense? Mitchell, DeGene. Zach Bond is a first-team All-Pro, the first year he's ever played a position because they have Vic Fangio. You build on offense with big money and big-time talent. What are they doing? I mean, this just does not work, Pony. And by the way, to the extent that we all agree that Mike, it's his defense, and he and Terrell Austin might collaborate, but on game day, he's the one getting what he wants, he's not scheming either. They're at a huge scheme disadvantage. Not that the Ravens needed a big advantage in this game. They were just physically better. But, like, where's the exotic defense that, like, does anything to challenge Jackson? How many times did they tackle the running back early in that game only to have Jackson just emerge from
the
pile?
It looked like their wrinkle was, in this game, instead of T.J. Watt going after Jackson on every play, he was going to go after the running back. That was the curveball that they threw.
And Jackson's pulling the ball like Bugs Bunny, just like an episode of Looney Tunes, like, walking the other way with it, man. They had no wrinkles. And guys just looked like they didn't even want to be out there pretty early on.
Dante Jackson, Minka Fitzpatrick, Patrick Queen, I could go
Cam
on and on
is
with
Cam
that.
Sutton they, out of the dirt yet?
No, they did not. Their whole, they tried to sell us on the idea that they were going to pull out all the stops, and if they were going to lose this game, it wasn't going to be because they didn't go to whatever extreme methods were necessary to try to win it.
Mm-hmm.
And so they took the ball to start the game. That was their bold move. They didn't defer.
They came out throwing on first down, and yep. Pat Freiermuth drops it. But then
they,
still.
But then again, they turtled. They had a couple of fourth and short punts. They did a flea flicker. This whole big pregame scoop that was aired on several networks. Look out for Justin Fields. It's going to be a Justin Fields game. He got two plays. George Pickens, who's a nincompoop for the most part, but is still your most talented offensive player, didn't get targeted until there were 4 minutes left in the first half. That's there. We're going to die.
That's burning the boats.
Yeah, that's burning the boats, and we're going to kind of die on our shields.
In macro level, they're not going to burn the boats either, which would be a full clean out and saying, we're not doing this. This
exactly.
is the wrong way that we're going about this from the head coach on down. They're not going to burn the boats either. Like, there's a part of me that came in today, and you said it well. It's like a public service kind of thing almost. Like, we know people in this fun job we get to do. This is a day where people want to have their voices heard. There's part of me that comes in. I don't know if either of you guys experienced this, just feeling like, yeah, like, I'm mad that they lost. But they lost in a way all three of us thought they would, maybe slightly more embarrassing with how easily it came for the Ravens. If I were surprised, it might be another thing. I'd be in here foaming at the mouth, Pony, like, hold on, I got something else to say. How many times do you have to watch the movie before you just say, well, yeah, it was the same movie I watch all the time. Why would I have expected
anything
different?
Yeah, and that's why I'm not going to predict anything different until Tomlin's gone and he's not going anywhere.
I'm not going to predict anything different until the owner shows any kind of, and Tomlin being gone would be an example of this, the example, shows any real urgency to get anything changed and done.
412-928-9370. Donnie will give his takes. We'll be here all afternoon. Let's start with Rob in O'Hara Township. Hello, Rob.
Hey, good to hear from you guys. I got something big time for you today. You know, the problem is this modus operandi is antiquated, and they're not living in their fears. They're paralyzed in their fears. So what do we do? There's two problems. One, or three problems, actually. One is Art Rooney. Can't do much about that, presumably, but actually we can. The second problem is this culture is an unmitigated disaster. And the third problem is us, Steeler Nation, because we have been too willing to tolerate this nonsense.
So well, Rob, what's Steeler Nation supposed to do to not tolerate this nonsense, though?
Like, I'm
what power
right
agency
now.
Do fans have?
I'm going to tell you right now. Okay, at the Rooney press conference, he's going to come out and pull his typical Jimmy Stewart stuff and tell us it's a wonderful life. And when he does this, what the reporter should do is ask one question. Are you relieving Mike Tomlin of his duties? If he says no, the reporters should get up and walk out. You know, then the next thing we should do, and I'd like to see 93.7 be a big part of this.
Okay.
I think it's time down at the North Shore, we do a Viking funeral for Mike Tomlin era. And if everybody bring their Steeler paraphernalia down, we'll throw it in the boat and we'll push it out into the Allegheny on fire.
Rob, it's a hell of a call to start the show. And our boss, Craig, just burst in the room like Kool-Aid Man and just screamed the word content in Donnie's ear.
Oh, man. That was really good.
What is the non-Mike Tomlin related thing that would be like the quintessential jersey on the Mike Tomlin era, piece of paraphernalia? Would it be like a punt from the opponent's 41-yard line on 4th and an inch? Would it be like, I don't know. I don't know what the quintessential thing is you'd throw on that.
It would
boat.
Be a shirt that just said 73-0. That is the aggregate first quarter score of their six playoff losses.
It would be a little greater than or equal to sign, and then on the other side of it would say 8-8. That's what it would say. Actually, now that I've given myself an idea for a t-shirt.
Before I got here, I know football, and I know that in the past we've played well in the beginning of the season, and then, you know, we just bad at the end, and same happened this year. Closed the season out on five game losing streak, including the playoffs. So we got to figure out what's the problem. We got to figure out how to get better. We got to figure out how to get past that point. We got to figure out how to finish strong in seasons to go into the playoffs hot, ready to play playoff football. Yeah, man.
Fan Hotline is presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. This is why we turn the lights on at this radio station for days like this, when fans are salivating to get their voices heard and get their shots in on this team. Deshaun Elliott leading the charge in that locker room, pretty much saying that the Steelers are now a team that's synonymous with crapping themselves in big spots, saying, I knew that was this team's MO before I got here.
That you think about that too. It used to be, I knew when I watched the Steelers from afar, they were just so much tougher than everybody else. They were just, you knew it was going to be a brutal day if you were playing them. Yeah, I got here, but before I did, they were definitely kind of a joke. I mean, did anyone give them any serious chance? They had to be the most laughed at team in the playoffs. Maybe the Texans, who obviously, they get a win, they prove everybody wrong, and now Justin Herbert looks terrible. But
Kabali,
like,
picked Steelers 24, Ravens 20, and said they were going to win the game with heart.
Whatever. Okay, cool.
Like, it was the friggin' Cowardly Lion in The Wizard of Oz.
What does he think? Like, a Steelers playoff game is the Karate Kid where you get, like, the scripted ending here?
Donnie, football went Ravens 34, Steelers 20, mm-hmm. So got the margin of victory exactly right. Mm-hmm. Malzi, 31-14. They gave the Ravens a little bit too much credit. You thought they were going to tack on an extra field goal, but you nailed the Steelers total.
Tweeted also that before the game, tweeted that score and then said Derrick Henry will be the reason. Feel pretty good about that part of the prediction.
I went Ravens 30, Steelers 13. Darrell in Houston got the game pretty much spot on, was the best of any caller. Said Ravens 27, Steelers 13.
Yeah, where's our guy Daryl? Because he's like the steadiest hand of all of our steady callers. Oh, and I see some luminaries.
Mike and Braddock said, Steelers 29, Ravens 17. I can't wait to call you guys on Monday and brag about how I was right and you were wrong.
You think we're going to hear from him today?
412-928-9370.
I wonder how many people, Pony, is this, and I don't mean this to try to tamp down, like, no, call in and tell us how mad you are, but like, is anybody else out there at a genuine point of being a little bit numb about this? Because you see it so often now?
Here is Emmanuel in Carnegie who picked that the Ravens would only score 16 points. He didn't say if it was in one quarter or in the entire game, apparently. Hello, Emmanuel.
The first quarter, that's what I meant. Still, just so disappointed in the performance. We don't have an identity. That's the thing. We want to be a physical, tough team. But then again, we're going to go empty set like we did against the Chiefs and the Ravens, by the way, on 3rd and 2 on the opening drive. The exact same thing. We got sacked against the Chiefs and the Ravens. We threw a deep pass to Van Jefferson. It was incomplete. Opening drive, you bring in Justin Fields. You go with a flea flicker on the second drive. This reeks of desperation. This is not a Steelers physical identity team. Like, and then you're going to punt on 4th and inches after your defense give up 95 yards? I'm sorry, man. This is the Pittsburgh Pirates of football. And I don't like – I'm a big fan. I'm a loyal fan.
Oh, no doubt. You got to throw the Kool-Aid out, though, now. Take that big jug that has all the sugar and the fruit punch flavoring, Emmanuel, that's in a black and gold bottle, and just put it in the trash, please.
Hey, so, you know, we learned from the preseason. We're not going to get hype from the preseason. And now I'm not going to get hype until we win a playoff game.
Bingo. So, that's where I've been. Thanks, E. Call again soon.
And you had such a – man, your fall has been precipitous from they're going to go to the Super Bowl last year and lose to the Eagles to now this. But I think you're right.
That part of this game and where both franchises are going should not be ignored. The Ravens have a quarterback who might win his third MVP and a running back who's going to be in the Hall of Fame who they picked up and they're not paying a lot of money to, and those guys killed the Steelers. The Steelers were supposed to be, by this point, Kenny Pickett in his third year playing like a upper echelon quarterback and Najee Harris, a first-round running back in the prime of his career. And one of those guys is watching from the sideline in Philly, and the other guy's averaging 2 yards a carry in the playoffs. And to Emmanuel's point, when it's 3rd and short, after he had 2 strong runs, you take him off the field and you go empty set on 3rd and 2. And then your $13 million a year tight end can't break a tackle to get a first down.
Nope.
Here is Lou in Staten Island. Days like this were made for Lou because Lou has been saying the same thing for years. And now I think people are starting to see the light, Lou, both locally and nationally on the Steelers.
Yeah, well, welcome to the party. The problem is they're years too late. And once again, we find ourselves in the same damn situation that I'm calling the radio station after another pathetic, disgusting, embarrassing effort.
You've been saying the same thing since the Jacksonville loss, Lou. You've been consistent on this.
I have been. And I don't want to be right, but I am right. Okay? And let me go through a couple of things. Give me a chance to get this off my chest, okay? I like that he won the coin toss and he took the ball. I like that they actually tried to try things in the first drive or two. That, to me, showed a little bit of desperation. But then he goes and he punts on 4th and inches, which I almost puked as I'm watching that, okay? 13 consecutive runs for a touchdown. They never threw the ball on one of those drives. Absolutely unheard of in football. Now, for the people who are saying that this coach hasn't been doing things, the organization, as far as defense first, I have to remind you guys something, and it's not the right way of going about it. He lost the other way, too. He lost with Ben Roethlisberger and AB and wide open offenses and throwing the ball for 500 yards a game. He
True.
Lost that way too.
True.
Okay. All right. Now, listen, guys, his challenges, his timeout usage, his decision-making, his starting of games, you just said it, 84-0. I mean, this is beyond sad. And they could change the offensive coordinator and the coaches and this guy and this figurehead. It don't matter. I just want to say one thing to Art Rooney. I know he's not listening, but maybe he is. Been rooting for this team since 1974. This was the first year I did not drive 6.5 hours to Pittsburgh. You know why, Art? Because I know it's going to happen. And so does everybody else. Your team's uncompetitive. You're getting 10 points from the Baltimore Ravens in a playoff game, and people actually thought that they were going to be competitive. They laid down for the coach. They laid down. It was embarrassing.
Thank you, Lou. Donnie, what do you think of the...
Lou sounds a little bit defeated, though. He used to sound angry to the point where I thought he would, even as a composed radio caller, would swear and we'd have to dump him for cussing. Didn't you hear a little bit of sadness under there?
Donnie,
what
are your thoughts on the fan sentiment so far? Do they match how you feel?
I'd say so. I mean, well, first, and I know Chris said it, we should all be giving ourselves a hand, the three of us, because even though people say that this show brings out some of the most ridiculous things that get put out into the ether, we all had this game pretty much spot on. Maybe not the exact score, but we all knew the way this game was going to go. We didn't get too overhyped for the game because we knew what was going to happen Saturday night, and it did. We knew that the Ravens were going to jump out to a commanding lead. We knew the Steelers were going to put lipstick on a pig, make it look closer than what it was, have people really try to convince themselves that they were in it at any point. They were never in the game. But I don't blame people for trying to tell themselves they were, because they're used to doing this now over the last 8 years. They were never in the game. It was never a game.
Last time we'll be doing this for a Steelers game until August of next year. PM Team Plays of the Game, segment brought to you by Mike's Beer Bar. The fan beer of the month is Shrew Brew Brewing's Polyphonic and Sales Support, the American Cancer Society. We each submitted three plays that broke the Steelers' back in their 28-14 humbling defeat at the hands of the arch-rival Ravens. Here's mine.
Jackson takes the snap. He's back to pass. Plants his feet. Plenty of time to survey the field. Fires for the end zone. Caught! Touchdown, Ravens! Rashad Bateman running the back line of the end zone, and Jackson put it right on his numbers. A 15-yard touchdown pass, and the Ravens strike first.
Because with that play, and that was in the first quarter, the Ravens' first drive, the sense of dread, the sense of here we go again in the playoffs set in. Steelers, drive stalled, didn't get anything to show for it when they took the ball. Glimmer of hope, special teams play, Steven Sims bobbles the ball, they're pinned back at their own five, and what do you know, they go 95 yards on your ass. And Minka Fitzpatrick was really the dunce of that drive, the guy that ended up looking the worst. He got juked out of his shoes by Lamar for a first down. And then Derrick Henry said, look at you.
That's one of the most violent
minion.
That's one of the most violent stiff arms I've ever seen. It looked like a right cross in a boxing match, and Minka's head snapped like it was.
And that touchdown play, by the way, was on 3rd and 13.
Correct.
I mean,
how many minutes did he have to throw back there? I mean minutes. Like, he just stood there and kind of hung out.
Make a stop there. Hold him to a field goal.
You feel like you kind of won a little bit. Like, yep. A small victory.
That's my play of the game. Here is Mulsey's.
Here's the snap. Jackson will hand it off to Henry. Up the middle, big hole. 30, 25, down to the 20, 15, 10, 5. Touchdown, Ravens. Derrick Henry's second touchdown run of the night. Bursting up the middle for 44. And the Ravens lead 27-7.
Jackson made a very slick play to make sure that handoff still got made. And what was just funny about that run is, you said it, Pony, anybody that's really seen this before knew that even at 21-7, the Steelers weren't winning. But I'm sure there was somebody out there who went, hey, 98 yards in like 3.5 minutes. Van Jefferson caught a touchdown. Maybe weird things are afoot. It took the Ravens 2 minutes and 16 seconds to just saunter 70 yards in four plays. The still images from that touchdown run are just very funny. I'm sorry. Here is a grown-ass man sprinting away from a bunch of people who are not even close to putting a hand on
Patrick
him.
Patrick Queen looked like a complete chump on that play, like he
horrible.
Wanted no part of it.
Horrible.
Funny Patrick Queen story. Apparently, a member of the Pittsburgh sports media, this is after the first Ravens loss, I believe, predicted the Ravens to beat the Steelers. Patrick Queen got wind of it and refused to talk to this reporter after the game. It's basically said, you don't believe in us, I don't have time for you.
Cool. Maybe that gets like talked about as in Patrick Queen lore if you have 26 tackles in this game and the Steelers pull a stunner. Instead, you
look
like a
chump. Look, how this defense looked the last five games
chump
of the year,
behavior.
Pat.
By the way, I hate being right, but I was right about him. I gave that like a very poor grade when they signed him. I said I had huge concerns that it was basically flushing money for a guy who was more Roquan Smith's running buddy than an alpha dog. Sure looks like that.
Yeah, keep throwing money at a defense.
Sure looks like that.
That gets manhandled in playoff games. Here's Donnie's big play.
Shotgun snap. Lamar back to pass. Looking. Pumps. Moving left. Moving right. Backpedaling out of the 20. Steps up. Throws short. Caught by Justice Hill. Racing into the end zone. Touchdown, Ravens. Lamar Jackson backpedaling. Whirling away from pressure. Stepping up and finding Hill in the right flat. Wide open. Into the end zone for a 5-yard touchdown. And the Ravens lead 20-0.
Yeah, I loved this one. Because if it wasn't over before that, even though it probably was, when it was 14-0, it felt like it was 41-0. That was the official
kill shot.
Nail in the coffin, yeah.
And they were getting the ball back to start the second half,
yes,
too.
Yes, and it was also funny because it felt like Baltimore completely baited the Steelers on that drive, and they did, and it worked. They ran the ball on the first play or two, basically said, okay, we'll dare you to take a timeout, and then we'll try to score a touchdown. They did. And who scored a touchdown? The Ravens stomped right down the field after the Steelers called a timeout. And then that completely ended it. The game was over at halftime.
The three touchdown drives, just to, again, I know this has been pointed out, 95, 85, and 90 yards on that $137 million defense.
But
doesn't
hey,
buy you what it used to, does it?
But hey, they didn't have Zay Flowers, and that was going to make all the difference in the world.
I think,
and John Harbaugh was arrogant, and it was already looking past the Steelers. Guess what?
He should
have reason to be.
He might have had a couple of his advanced
turned
scouts
on the film
ready
during that last month and said, yeah, this is going to be a walk in
clowned,
the park.
Just clowned. And then you know we're going to hear the same stuff from the same particulars with the Steelers next year. Oh, it'll be different. We're just, hey, Mike, why do you believe in your guys coming back for next year? Because I work with them every day. Ooh, boy. Awesome, man. Cool.
That was PM Team Plays of the Game.
Credit to the Ravens, man, because they look very strong, but my God, when you're going over a speed bump for an opponent, it's easy to look that way.
Usually one of our more optimistic callers, Noah in Duquesne, joins us. Hold on, I got to put him on the right line.
Had him on the old...
Hello, Noah, you're on the fan.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yep.
Yeah, what's up, Noah?
All right, so I'm going to make this as quick as possible. I got three quick things for you. First is an apology, second is a story, and third is a quick question.
Go.
So, first of all, apology... I have completely disagreed with you guys since I was in high school. I'm now a year away from graduating college for my bachelor's.
Congratulations on all your anticipated success.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, you guys have said this same story for years, and I said you're crazy, and now I know this. And let me tell you the story of why it took me to realize this. The night of the game, I had a lady friend who wanted me to go to the bar for the game. We have a good pass, you know, and I said that there was no way I was going to the bar because I had to watch this game. So I didn't go, and then I watched this game instead, and it was a complete disaster. And I look back at it now, and that little cherry on top of not meeting with that girl is probably the final cherry on why Mike Tomlin needs to go, and I just once again want to apologize to you guys for that. Yeah, and my quick question is, let's say the impossible reality happens of where Mike Tomlin gets fired or goes, what's our next step? I'd like to know that. But thanks,
Noah,
guys.
Hold on. I have a question for you. Do you think that things are salvageable
with
the lady friend?
You said you had a good history with her.
Yeah, I went to a concert with her about a month back. I didn't really respond to her much, but as the last week had gone, I'd been talking to her. And, of course, she wanted to hang out when the Steelers were playing, and I still had that sentiment that the Steelers were going to win that game.
I think you should send her a little, like, card, a funny card that says, I'm sorry, I'll never let him come between us again. It has a picture of Mike.
Yeah, that would be smart.
See you, Noah. Thank you.